Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Masechet opens up with a Mishnah containing halachos regarding the restriction of dealing with idol worshippers prior to their holiday period. The reason given for this is that if the idol worshipper feels that he receives benefit from a Jew prior to his holiday, he will, on the occasion of the holiday, go and thank his idol, thank his Avodah Zarah for the Jew's experience with him. The Mishnah: Lifnei Eideihem shel Ovdei Kechovim Shlosha Yomim. Before the Eideihem, the holiday. The Gemara will be analyzing the root of the word Eideihem, but for our purposes right now, it means the holiday prior to the holiday of the idol worshippers, 3 days. Osur Loseis Veloseis Imohem. It is forbidden to, and the list starts over here, to have business dealings with them. Lahash ilon velishol mehen, to loan items and borrow from them items. Lahal voisan veluvois mehen, to loan cash to them or to borrow cash from them. Leforon velifroa mehen, to pay off debts to them or to receive payments of debts that they, the idol worshippers, owe to you. Regarding this last point of paying off debts, or more specifically, receiving debt payment from them, the Mishnah has two opinions, and hence we have an aleph over the expression vilifroa mehen, to receive payment from them. According to the Tanakhama, the first opinion, that is included in the list of other things that are forbidden to do within 3 days of their holiday. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on this point and says, Nifroin mehen, one is allowed to receive payment from them, from the idol worshippers, before their holiday, but mei shemeitzar hu loy, because it causes a sense of tsar to him, a sense of pain that he has to pay out money. So he's not going to, as a result of that, thank his idol. Omrulo, the Rabbonin responded to Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbonin who represent the opinion that it is forbidden to receive payment from them, they said, Afal pi shemeitzu hu achshav, even though it hurts him, so to speak, right now as he's paying out the money, Someahu liachar zman, he will be happy, and Rashi says liachar zman is a reference to tomorrow, the next day. He'll be happy that he got the debt off his hands, and because of that joy, he will go and thank the idol for having been responsible, so to speak, for his ability to pay off his debt. As we mentioned, the Gemara opens up with an analysis of the word Eideihem. On the side of our Gemara, on the outside margin, you'll notice an expression nosei. That's a title or a topic heading for this section of Gemara. Therein, in that we've written Shnei Lashonos, Beis Lashonos, Bekriyas Hamilah, Eideihem o Eideihem. Two opinions of how to read that word that refers to the holidays. Is it read with an aleph or with an ayin? And as a result of these two different readings, there are in fact two different explanations as to why their holidays are called by these terms. So even though the two opinions may sound rather similar, Eideihem versus Eideihem, nevertheless, the meaning behind these words, as we will see shortly, is different. Rav Ushmuel, Chad Toni Eideihem, V'chad Toni Eideihem. You have Rav and Shmuel and each one has their own opinion as to how to learn the Mishnah. The first opinion presented here is reading the word referring to holidays with an aleph, and you can see with our markings we've squiggle underlined the aleph to draw your attention to that. And the second opinion presented is aydehin with an ayin. Man detoni aydehin lo mishtabesh. He who teaches with an aleph is not in error. In error. Uman detoni aydehin lo mishtabesh. And the one who uses the ayin word aydehin is also not erring. Man detoni aydehin lo mishtabesh. He who teaches with an aleph is not erring because there is a reasonable explanation for describing holidays with the word aydehin aleph. Dichtiv ki koroiv yoim edom. Their day of smashing is coming near. The idol worshippers will eventually be smashed because of their having been just that, idol worshippers. When the day of judgment comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, will smash them. Uman detoni aydehem lo mishtabesh. Likewise, the one who teaches with an ayin is not in error. Dichtiv, there is a pasuk. And before we go any further in the Gemara, let's just note some of our markings. We can do that with the assistance of that which you find in the outside margin, the mivneh, the structural note. You'll notice a Roman numeral 1 and 2 featured, and diamonds. Shnei mekoros legirsa shel aydehem. Two sources to justify the use of the word holiday, spelling it with an ayin. And the first approach to that will be featured here in the Gemara. And further down in the wide lines, you'll notice a Roman numeral number 2, and at the end of that line, another diamond. So we're now going to read the first approach to the use of the word Eidehem with an ayin. Uman detoni eidehem lo mishtabish dichtiv. The pasuk says, Yitnu eidehem v'yitztoku. At this point in the Gemara, there is a havamina that this pasuk is translated as they will give their testimony, and will they be able to justify themselves? Who is giving the testimony and who is trying to justify themselves? So Rashi approaches this and says, Rashi, Yitnu Eidehem V'Yitztoku, Hashta Salka Daite. At this point, the Havamina is Dibeovdei Kechovim Ksiv, that this posuk is referring to the idol worshippers, the Atmue Matma, and it's to be read with a sense of wonderment. Yitnu Oivdei Kechovim Eidehem, Yovoyu Avoidois Kechovim Sheovdu, V'Yaidu Alehem V'Yatzdikum. Do you think that the idols that were worshipped by the idol worshippers will come and bear testimony that they were worshipped and justify them for that? Uman detoni eidehem, my time alo toni eidehem. And he who describes the word for holiday using an aleph, why did he not use the ayin word? Omar loch tavra odif. The word eidehem, as we saw in the pasuk ki korov yom edom, is a reference to their day of smashing. So their destruction, their elimination, is more significant to refer to. Hence, the word eidehem with an aleph is chosen. Uman detoni eidehem, my time alo toni eidehem. And the one who chose the ayin word, why did he not choose the aleph word? Omaloch. So he will answer, man kogorim luhu tavra. What causes the smashing that you feature by using the aleph word? Well, Eidus she'idu ba'atzmon, the testimony that they say about themselves on the day of judgment. In other words, on the great day of judgment in the future, where the idol worshippers testify that they worshipped the idols. That very testimony will result in their smashing. Hilkach edus adifa. Therefore, it's the testimony that deserves preeminence. The Gemara asks, "V'hai yitnu edeim v'yitzdaku ba'uvdei kechavim siv?" Is it to be understood that the pasuk is referring to the idol worshippers? Hal b'Yisrael k'siv. Before we go further, let us draw our attention to the fact that these few lines of Gemara are part of a long question. And we have that featured to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a kuf that's encircled with a dashed vertical line, indicating that one has to read all of these lines to appreciate the question. So, as we asked, is it so that this pasuk is referring to the idol worshippers? This pasuk is referring to the Jewish people. The Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kol mitzvos Yisrael oisim b'olam hazeh, all the commands, the mitzvos that the Jewish people do in this world, bois umeidois lohem le'olam haba, the mitzvos bear testimony for the benefit of the Jews in the world to come. Shenemar yitnu eidehem v'yitzdaku elu Yisrael, the mitzvos will bear witness and serve as merit for the Jews. Yishmu v'yomru emes, they will hear and say true, elu ovdei kechavim. Rashi says, Yishmu ovdei kechavim es ha'edus she mitzvos me'idos, the idol worshippers will hear the testimony that the mitzvos say v'yomru emes, and they will say truth. Din hu shiruyin Yisrael etzadik, that they, the Jewish people, are justified in being justified. So at this point in the Gemara, if you want to make reference to the holidays by using the word Eidehen with an ayin, we're going to have to find a new approach, because the first approach that claimed that it was the idols serving testimony concerning the worshippers of the idols, that seems to fall away in view of this now seemingly more accurate interpretation that Yitnu Eidem Yitzdaku is focused on the Jewish people. Elo Omar Rav Huna Brein Rav Yeshua Man Detoni Eidehem Mehocha, the one who chooses to use as his girsa in the Mishnah the ayin for the word Eidehem, will learn that from the following. Yoitzre Pesel Kulam Tohu V'chamudehem Bal Yo'ilu V'eidehem Hema. Rashi V'eidehem Hema Avodas Kechovim Tovo V'toid Alovdeha L'chaivam. This pasuk is describing those that created idols, and all of those idols will be of no use for them in the future, because the idols will in fact come and say condemnatory testimony concerning those that worship them. And that's where you see the word Eidehem referring to the idols and idol worshippers. Dorash Rav Chanino Bar Popo V'temer Rav Samloi. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's glance at the topic heading we have on the side, Nosei. And we have an indication this goes ad Gimel Amud Bay. So we're starting a topic that will keep us occupied till Daf Gimel Amud Bay, is a rather long topic. Mifgash HaKadosh Baruch Hu Im HaGoyim LaOsid Lavo. As we note in our topic heading that this sugya describes a meeting of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Gentiles in the future. Levarer Im Ru'uyim LaKabel Schar Al Isuk B'Torah, to clarify whether they, the idol worshippers, will merit reward for their having been involved with Torah. So, as the Gemara goes on, we have Rabbi Chanino, or another version, Rav Simloi, saying, the Osid Lavoi Mevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sefer Torah, in the future, the Kadosh Baruch Hu will come and bring a Sefer Torah, a Torah scroll, Umanichoi B'cheko, and place it in his lap. The Omer, Lemi she'osak bo yovol v'yitol tzcharo. He who was engaged in the study of Torah shall come and take reward. Miyad miskabtsinu boin oivdekechovim birbuvya. Immediately upon hearing that announcement, all of the idol worshippers come and gather in confusion. What does this mean, in confusion? It means that each nation did not come as a separate entity, a separate group, but everyone came all jumbled up. Shenemar kol hagoyim nikbutsu yachdov. As the pasuk indicates, that all the Gentiles will come gather together. Amar lema kodesh baruch hu, al tikonsu lefonai b'irbuvya. Don't come to me all jumbled up. Elotikones kol uma v'uma v'seifreha. Let each nation come individually with its wise men. Shenemar v'yasfu le'umim. As the pasuk says, that the nations... It's also noteworthy that this pasuk is coming from Yeshaya Mem Gimel, that the nations shall gather together as individual nations. The Ein Laom Elo Malchus. This pasuk that said Vayesfu Laumim is a reference to different kingdoms. The word Laom is a reference to individual nations. Shenemar, where do we see the word Laumim used in the context of kingdoms? The pasuk says Ulaoim Milaoim Ye'emotz. And the targum of that is Umolchoi Mimolchoi. So we see that this pasuk describing the of that which will come forth from Yaakov and Esav, different nations, Laoim Milaoim. Umi Iko Irbuvio Kame Hakodesh Baruch Hu. Is there, when dealing with a description of the Kodesh Baruch Hu and his experience, so to speak, is there room to talk about confusion? The Almighty is not subject to being confused, so to speak. So what is the reason for the Kodesh Baruch Hu insisting that they appear before him separately? Ela ki hechi delo le'arbu le'arbavu inhu b'hadi hadodi. The lishmu mai du omar lohu. It's for their benefit that they come separately, so that they don't get confused one with the other. Rashi explains here at the upper part of the narrow lines, umishani de lo le'arbavu inhu l'dide. As far as the Kodesh Baruch Hu lo mahani irbuvya, being all jumbled up, mixed up with one another, has no effect on him. Avolididhu mahani erbuvia. But as far as the Gentiles are concerned, being jumbled up does have an effect. The mevalbali umistakmi tanaseim, because they're mixed up, one nation with another, they are not able to offer their claims in a clear and coherent fashion. As the Gemara continues, we encounter a new geometric form. On the side of our Gemara, we have under the Mivneh heading, the structural note, the diamond is featured, Havlotas Ha'umois She'oimdim Ladin. We will see an emphasis on the nations that come, which nations come and stand in front of the Kodesh Baruch Hu on the Day of Judgment. So our first diamond features Romi. It says Romi Trila, and then as you go down the page, you see Poras Achareha, and the Persian nation will follow them. So as the Gemara continues, Miyad Nichneso Lefonov Malchus Romi Trila. Immediately the Roman Empire appears in front of the Almighty. My time, why is Rome the first? Mishum de Chashiva, because it is the most important, most preeminent empire. Before we go further in the Gemara, it's important for us in the as presenters of a shiur to say at the outset that many, many points that one will be featured in this Gemara are of a, we'll say, a hidden nature. some will refer to this as a mystical nature. It is absolutely necessary in order to gain full understanding of this passage of Gemara and many like it to investigate the various traditional commentaries who have the secrets, let us say, to the true understanding of these Gemaras. When we talk about Rome, one thinks for a moment and says, well, there's basically nothing left of the Roman Empire today other than ruins and museums. How is it that in the world to come we see the Roman Empire still there? So one accepted approach to this kind of Gemara is that that Rome really represents those nations that originally formed the center of the Roman Empire and the philosophy that they represented, and that in fact that strain, so to speak, continues to this day without making reference to specific nations or peoples. But one can find out through, as we mentioned before, investigating the different commentaries and see what Rome or who represents Rome today. So it's pointed out in the Gemara that the force that represents Rome is the most significant force, and we're describing the Day of Judgment. So they, being the Chashiva, the important ones, they come forth first. Dichtiv, and the Gemara now presents a pasuk that is from a vision that is featured in the book of Daniel, the Sefer Daniel, where there is a vision of the future involving the Day of Judgment, and the pasuk says, "Vatochal kol ara, vatidushena, vatutidukena," and it came forth. This animal that was featured in the vision came forth and smashed and crushed the entire world. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Zu Romi Chayeves. This is evil Rome, Shetiva Yotza B'chol Olam, whose name and reputation has spread throughout the world. Umenolan Demand Dechoshiv Ayel Bereshon. From where do we see precedent for this idea that he who is important enters the judgment first? That when dealing with a series of individuals or of those that require judgment in front of a court, that the most important ones enter first. Answer: Kidurav Chisto, based on a teaching of Rav Chisto, the Yom Rav Chisto, Melech Vetzibur, Melech Nifnos Tchilo Ledin, that when you have a king and his subjects, the king enters judgment first. Shenemar. At this point, we have a numbering system. We're going to be numbering 1 through 3 in the next few lines, serving, let's say, sources and reasons for a king to enter judgment first. The pasuk says, "La'asos mishpat avdoi u'mishpat amoi Yisrael." Avdo is a reference to his servant, and specifically King Solomon. And following King Solomon in this pasuk, you see Mishpat Amo Yisrael, the subjects, the Jewish people. The time of my, and what is the reason for this? Eboyes Emo, some will say, Lav Oirach Aro Lemesav Malcolm Evroi, that it's not the proper way, it's not Orach Ara, Derech Eretz, for a king to be seated on the outside. Let's just go over one structural point before we go further, for the sake of accuracy. The Gemara features a posuk, La'asos Mishpat Avdoi Mishpat Am Yisrael, and as far as the reasons for that are concerned, the Gemara gives for that two reasons. And as we said before, two reasons. The first is that it's not derech eretz for a king to be seated outside, sort of like sit in the waiting room, so to speak. while the subjects are being judged. Hence, the king enters first. V'boyseimo mekami delefush charonaf, that before the judge's wrath is arisen, it's recommended or it's beneficial for the king to come in first. In other words, after extensive judgment and many guilty verdicts being issued, the tendency of a judge is to have increased wrath. And therefore, when you start off fresh, first thing in the morning, so to speak, the wrath level is at a minimum because there have been no guilty verdicts issued. So the judge will have a more pleasant visage with regard to those that are coming in front of him. Omar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, turns to Rome and asks them, B'mai Asaktem, what were you involved with? You'll notice with our markings, we've featured with a double underline, one of our series markings, the question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu poses, B'mai Asaktem. And the reason for that is that this same question will appear later when the judgment of the Malchus Poras is presented. So he asks the Romi, what were you involved with? Oimrim Lefonov. They say back, we've dashed underline Oimrim Lefonov so as to contrast this with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to them a few lines later, where we've dashed underline that as well. We will see a similar marking approach later, once again, when we get to Poras. So, after being asked, what were you involved with, they say to him, Ribono Shel Olam. They mention three things. Harbe Shvokim Tokninu. We established many markets. Harbe Merchatzos Sasinu. We established many bathhouses. Harbe Kesef Vizov Hirbino. We were responsible for the increase of a lot of wealth, of gold, of silver and gold. The Kulam Lo Asinu El Bishvil Yisrael. Today she is Asku Batura, and all of our efforts were invested in order for the Jews to be able to learn Torah. Rashi says, "She's Asku Yisrael Batura, Sheilahem Panai." The Jews will have available time. Shemoitzin Listakir Bashuk, Umoitzin Mizanesein Sorchem Bli Turach, Umisadnin Bemerchatzos. Rashi here is paralleling the three items mentioned in their claim, and he says that being that the Romans have set up what we've set up, the markets, the bathhouses, the Jews will have everything ready for them without investing additional energies and thereby having time available for the study of Torah. Omar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to them and says, Shoitim Sheba Oilam, you fools of the world, Kol Ma She'asitem L'Tzerach Atzmechem Asitem. Everything that you've done for yourselves. It's interesting to note that he doesn't call them liars, and it's my humble opinion that the reason he refers to them as Shoitim as opposed to Shakronim is that, in fact, the preparation of all of the worldly needs that they accomplished were in fact like they said it was, it in fact was for the benefit of the Jews in order to study Torah. However, as far as intention is concerned, it is not as they presented themselves, and that's why he uses the word shotim as opposed to shakronim. Shotim, are you foolish to think that what you're claiming as far as your intentions are concerned, that I would believe it? So he says you're foolish to think that I would believe that those were your intentions, but rather everything you did it with self gain in mind. And here the Kodesh Baruch Hu goes on to deal point for point what they said. Tikantem Shvokim, you set up markets, Lahoshiv Bohen Zonis, to be able to set up in those markets harlots. Merchatzois la'adein bohen atzmechem. The bathhouses you did for your own personal physical enjoyment. Kesef is of shelihu. As far as amassing of wealth is concerned, that's mine. All of the world's wealth is mine, as the pasuk says, Shenema li hakesef v'li hazov neum Hashem tzevokos. Unto me is the silver and gold, says the Lord of hosts. Klum yesh bochem magid zois. Is there anyone that's going to speak up on your behalf? And we'll see shortly the deeper meaning of this pasuk. Shenema mi bochem yagid zois. Who amongst you will speak about this? The Ein Zois Elotero. The word Zois is a reference to the Torah. Shenemar v'Zois haTorah asher som Moshe. So you see the word v'Zois used in the context of Torah. Hence, we understand that when the Kodesh Baruch Hu on the Day of Judgment says, Mi bochem yagid Zois, he is asking them this very issue, this very point. Who is going to speak up on your behalf concerning your involvement with Torah? Well, no one is successful on behalf of Romy to do that. Miyad yotzu b'pachei nefesh. They immediately exit with a feeling of disdain, of failure. Yotzos malchus Romy v'nichneso malchus poras achareha. Romy exits and enters the Persian kingdom afterwards. My taimo, why is it that that Poras comes in the number two position? Answer: Deha chashivo basro. It's second in importance after Rome. Uminolan, and from where do we know that? Dichtiv va'aru chevo ochori tinyona domyo ludoiv. And behold, in the Doniel vision, as we started above, and behold, a second creature enters, appearing as a bear. The Tani Rav Yosef Elu Parsoyim. The bear image is a reference, is an image referring to the Persians. She'oichlin v'shoysim kedoiv. Their method of eating and drinking is reminiscent of a bear. Umesurbol and Bosor Kedoiv, and they are fleshy. Rashi says Shmeinim, they're fat, corpulent, like a bear. Umegadlin Sear Kedov, and they are hairy as a bear. Ve'emahim Menucha Kedov, and they're never at rest like a bear. Omar Lohem HaKodesh Baruch Hu B'maya Saktem. As we saw above, and you can see with the double underline method of marking, Kodesh Baruch Hu asks them, well, with what were you involved? Ormim Lefonov, they say, Ribono She'olam, Harbe Gishorim Gosharnu, many bridges we built, Harbe Krochim Kovashnu, we conquered many cities, Harbe Milchamois Osinu, we waged many wars, Pekulam lo asinu ala b'shvil Yisrael k'deish yis'asku b'tura, and all of our efforts were in order that the Jews should be able to study Torah. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kol ma she'asitem l'tzorach atzmechem asitem. Everything that you've done for yourselves. And as we saw above, he goes through these point by point. Tikantem gishorim. Litol mehem meches. You set up bridges in order to collect tolls from them. Krochim, the cities that you claimed that you conquered, that's your conquering of that was lasois behem angaria. To angaria is a reference to capturing populations for the purposes of public works. And Rashi says avodas hamelech hamuteles al yeshvei krochim lasos milchamos lasois batzovo. To populations that that inhabit these cities are captured in order for them to serve as soldiers, and we told behemton bavoidoso, and to take their animals for the king's service. And the third point they raised concerning wars, milchamos hani osisi. As far as wars are concerned, I'm the one responsible, says the Almighty, for wars. Shenema Hashem ish milchama. Klum yesh bochem magid zois. Shenemar mi bochem yagid zois. Is there anyone amongst you who can speak up on your behalf concerning this? And the pronoun this is a reference, as we'll see right now, to Torah. V'ein zois ela Torah shenemar v'zois haTorah asher som Moshe. Well, they too were unsuccessful in producing evidence or testimony that they were involved with the Torah. Miyad yotzu milefonov v'pachei nefesh. They too walked out with a sense of loss and failure. The Gemara asks, V'chi me'achar dechozis malchus poras le'malchus roimi de'loi mahanyo v'loi midi. When the Persians saw the failure of the Romans in their claims, my time o ailo, why did they even bother going in and to issue those claims, those very same claims? Amri, the Gemara answers, Inhu sasri beis hamikdash vanan boninan. The Persians figured that they, the Romans, they were responsible for the destruction of the beis hamikdash. We, the Persians, on the other hand, were responsible for the building of the beis hamikdash. Let us glance at the Tosfos that has a note here that's rather important. The Tosfos, you notice that almost halfway down, Vanan Boninan, Ha Delo Koamri, that which, when presented, when challenged by God on the Day of Judgment, that they didn't say for their own defense or benefit, She Bonu Beis Hamikdash, Kesheshom Mehem Bama Asaktem, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked them, what were you involved with, they didn't say, we were responsible for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And we should mention that the Persian involvement with the building of the Beis HaMikdash was in the time of Koresh, who was a king that existed at the very beginning of the Second Temple period. So why is it that they didn't make reference to that fact? To the Fizeh Lo osu ela oisu hador. Hakadosh Baruch Hu sheil b'ma zachu b'chol dor v'dor. The judgment that we are being exposed to here in the Gemara is, what were you involved with all through the generations, dor, generation after generation, dor v'dor. The building of the Beis Hamikdash was a one time in history merit that they had, but it's not something that would serve as merit for them generation after generation. All the same, the reason that the Gemara gives for their feeling motivated to offer claims on their own behalf after seeing that Rome failed in their attempts, their calculation was that since they were responsible for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, that would stand as merit for them. V'chein l'chol umah v'umah. And this situation of judgment took place nation by nation. V'chi me'achar d'chozu l'kamoi d'lo mahani v'lo midi. And after the later ones see that the earlier nations were unsuccessful in their claims, my time, Eili, why did they bother going in and try to claim on their own behalf? Savri. So these other nations figured as follows. Hanoch ishtabdu behu b'Yisrael. Those earlier empires, they enslaved the Jewish people. Rashi points out the Persians were meshabe the Jews during the Golos Bovel. And Titus, who was responsible for their exile to Rome, also enslaved them. So other nations, though, that were not responsible for the enslaving of the Jewish people figured that they have a chance. And that's what the Gemara says, and we'll read that again. Hanoch ishtabdu behu b'Yisrael ve'anan lo shibadnu b'Yisrael. However, as we see featured in the Gemara, two primary nations are featured by name. We don't see others, though. Maishno hani de chashivi, umaishno hani de lo chashivi. What's different about Rome and Poras that they are featured and the others are not? The Gemara answers, Mishum dahanoch mashchi v'malchusayu ad osi mashicha. Because Rome and Persia, they, and as we mentioned in our earlier introductory remarks, who they are represented by today is not the purview of our shir, but suffice it to say that the nation, that there are central forces that exist today and will exist until the coming of Moshiach, that are traceable, that can trace themselves back to the Rome and Persian empires. Glancing at Tosfos, Mai shno hani delo kochoshev pirush, where the Gemara was asking about what is unique about Rome and Persia that are featured and the others are not. Who are the others? Pirush, Bovel v'Yavon, Babylonia and Greece. Shehem me'arba malchus shenishtablu b'Yisrael v'chashuvin hoyu. They, Bovel and Yavon, are counted amongst the four major exiles that enslaved the Jews, and they were important as well, were significant empires. Avol mikol shivim umos lo boi. Tosfos clarifies that the Gemara, in asking about the other nations, isn't concerning himself with all the other 70 nations that comprise the nations of the world. So as we see here in the Gemara, Bovel and Yavon are empires that do not continue. They don't have representatives that continue till the end of days. But Romi and Poras do, and hence those are the ones that are featured as far as the Day of Judgment is concerned. As we go on in the Gemara, we encounter a new geometric form, another one of our series markings. The triangle appears here. We have on the outside margin a mivneh, a structural note, and the triangle is featured. Nisyonos levarer mahi tainas hagono shel hagoyim. We're going to attempt to see what are the idol worshippers going to offer in an attempt to defend themselves. What are they going to say? We also have a note here where the asterisk appears that we've written in. The triangle represents a sidra, ad gimel amud aleph. This series will continue till gimel amud aleph. Shel tainus ubakoshes shel agoyim kidei lekabel schar. Different claims and requests on the part of the Gentiles in order to eventually receive reward. So as the Gemara goes on, we will see suggestions, but as we proceed, we'll see these suggestions rejected, and hence the Gemara will try to find a new suggested claim that the idol worshippers might present. So the first is as follows. Oymen lefonav. The nations will say to God, Ribonu shel olam, Klum nosata lonu velo kibalnuha. Did you ever give us the Torah that we did not accept it? In other words, you never gave us the Torah in the first place. It would have been one thing had you given us the Torah and then we rejected it, but you never gave it to us in the first place. So that should be sufficient reason that we should be spared in your claims against us of not having been involved with the Torah, once again, because you never offered it to us. The Gemara says that cannot be. Umi motzis lemei marhochi. Is it possible that they could claim thusly? The Hoksiv, the Pasuk, indicates quite to the contrary, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did offer the Torah to the nations of the world, but they did not want to receive it. The Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem, misinai bo, v'zorach miseir lomoi, uksiv eloka mitemon yavo, v'chulei. These psukim indicate that the divine presence, so to speak, came forth from different nations, my boy the Seir, my boy the Paran? What was the Almighty doing in Seir, and what was he doing in Paran? Seir is a term used to refer often to Rome, and Paran, Rashi says, is Eretz Yishmael. So the question is, what was he doing in these places? Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Melamed Shechzira HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Kol Uma V'Loshoin. This teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented the Torah to all the different nations, V'lo Kiblua, and they did not receive, they did not accept the Torah, Ad Shebo Yitzel Yisrael V'Kiblua, until he came to the Jewish people, and they were the only ones to indicate a willingness to accept the Torah. So the suggested claim that we have under our first triangle, our number one, could not have been offered in the first place. Ella, hochi amri. Rather, they said thusly, klum ki balnuha velo ki imenuha. Is there a situation that did we ever accept the Torah and then not fulfill it? No, we never accepted it in the first place. Hence, a finger of condemnation against us in not having fulfilled that which we accepted cannot really be pointed against them. However, the Gemara says, "V'alda tavar sahin amai lo kibasua." It's on this very point that their smashing comes. Why did you not accept it in the first place? Rashi points out, "V'alda tavar sua, tavar suin." Pirchahi, klomar, nimtza tshuvazu kategor lahem. This claim on their part would actually serve to condemn them. So it's not likely that they would say this either. Ela, hence we go on in the Gemara. Kach oimrim lefonav. Thusly, they will say in front of the Almighty, Ribbono shel Olam. And before we go further, we should note that this point constitutes a long point, and we've indicated that with a nun that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, with a vertical dashed line indicating the length. So, rather thusly, they say, Ribbono shel Olam, klum kofisa aleinu har kegigis, velo kibalnuha kemoi shasisa liyisrael. Did you ever invert a mountain over our heads as if it were a barrel about to be dropped on people like you did for the Jews? In other words, it's true that the Jews accepted the Torah, but they did it with, well, to put it lightly, with a certain sense of motivation. The motivation being that the Mount Sinai was placed over their heads, so to speak, opposing a threat that if they do not accept the Torah, they will be buried right here under the mountain. And with that incentive, they accepted the Torah. So did you ever provide to us, say the Gentiles, that kind of incentive? Dichtiv, the Pasuk teaches that that's what happened when it came to Yisrael. Vayisyatzvu besachti sahar. And they stood underneath the mountain. V'omar Rabbi Ravdimi Bar Chama Malameid. This pasuk teaches us Shekofa Kodesh Baruch Hu Har Kigigis Al Yisrael, that he positioned the people under the mountain, like as if they were under a barrel. V'omar Lohem, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu said to them, Im atem mekablim es haTorah mutav. If you accept the Torah, then that's good. V'im lav, if you reject it, shom tehei kvurashem. There, under the mountain, will be your burial. Miyad oimer lahem haKodesh Baruch Hu. This having been said, the Kodesh Baruch Hu then responds to them. In other words, if they claim you never provided a sufficient incentive for us to receive the Torah, then the Kodesh Baruch Hu will respond to them as follows. Okay, Harishonos Yashmi'unu. Let the first ones, we'll see momentarily, that's a reference to those original mitzvahs that were issued to all the nations of the world. Let's hear about those. Shneamar, v'rishonos yashmienu, Sheva mitzvos shekibaltem heichan kiyamtem. The seven Noahide laws that you did accept, where did you fulfill those? In other words, even those you didn't fulfill. A basic seven mitzvos you didn't fulfill. And now you're asking about, what about an incentive to receive the entire Torah, which is comprised of 613 mitzvos? Umenolon delo kaimum. And from where do we know that the Gentiles did not fulfill the seven Noahide laws? The Tani Rav Yosef. As we see through our markings, the Gemara now starts an answer, a long answer. To the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a tuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line, and this goes to the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. So, as far as the question, from where do we know that they didn't fulfill the original seven Noahide laws, we see it in the following. The Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef offers a Tanaic source, and you can see that is framed off to set it aside from the rest of the Gemara. The pasuk that opens this source says, "Omad vayemoided eretz ro vayater goyim." He saw and then was matir. My ro'ah. The pasuk says ro'ah. He saw. The Almighty saw, so to speak. What did he see? Ro sheva mitzvah shekiblu aleihem b'nei noyach v'loi kaimum. He saw the seven mitzvahs that the Gentiles originally accepted and did not fulfill. Kevon d'shelo kaimum omad v'hetiron lohem. Initially, we offer a literal translation. And when he saw that they did not fulfill those commandments, the Almighty then allowed it to them. In other words, he freed them, so to speak. But if we give that literal reading, this arouses a question, a sense of wonderment. Izguri izgur, imkein motzinu chote niskar. Izguri has to do with the idea of reward. That for not having fulfilled them, they deserve the reward of having it allowed for them. In other words, for them having to be relieved from their obligations. If you say that lack of fulfillment results in the relief of obligation, then it turns out that the sinner is rewarded. Chote, the sinner in this case being those nations of the world that did not fulfill their commands, are then rewarded by being relieved from such an obligation. So what does this mean that he saw that they didn't fulfill and then was matir it? What is meant by that? Omar mar bre de Ravina, lomar. It suggests as follows, as we see at the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, she'afalpi she'mekaymen oisan. There is now a situation that even if they fulfill those mitzvos, the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, ein mekablim aleihem schar. They don't receive reward for that. The Gemara, which will be part of the next year, will raise the question, what do you mean they don't receive schar? We can present a Tanaic source that will show that they do receive reward. So, once again, the question is, what loss do they experience by the fact that they did not fulfill those seven mitzvahs? With that, we conclude our shiur for today.